Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
Maybe some of you saw, or maybe you did not, the program on CBS television this past week, Primetime, in which there was a rather lengthy segment devoted to what was called delinquent fathers. And it was quite a shocking story, and one that graphically brought to our minds the condition that prevails in so many instances in our nation today. The fact that there are so many fathers who are not what they should be. And children that are abused both emotionally and physically. Fathers that drink heavily or are on drugs and who are very abusive, who curse and act as people ought not to act. And it just breaks your heart to think of the fact that there are so many situations like that. It would be difficult to calculate just how many homes are in such a condition, with a father that is less than he ought to be. And many fathers that just outright abandon their families and walk away from any responsibility. And children that grow up without even knowing their father. Maybe they haven't even seen their father in years and years, and he has contributed absolutely nothing to the well-being of his wife and his offspring. How sad, how tragic, and how regrettable. I want you to contrast, however, in your minds, the scenarios that I've just drawn based on what I saw on that program with those who are genuine Christian fathers, men who do indeed love their wives as the Bible teaches them to love their wives, men who love their children, men who work hard to provide for their families and who shoulder the responsibilities of leadership. I'm thankful that we have a whole lot of men like that are in this auditorium even as I speak. Christian men who see to it that their children are not only taken care of physically, that they have food and shelter and clothing and whose medical needs are met, but who also supply role models for their children to emulate. Who seek after the mental and emotional good of their children as well as their physical needs. Who lend a certain degree of stability to the family that no other individual can lend. Fathers who show an interest in their children and in their development. Who participate with them in activities that are close to the child's heart. I know that in the case of our own offspring and our grandchildren, that I'm thankful that our children show an interest in their children and who take them to their ball games, to their little league games, and all these other activities that are so important to the child, so that the family unit is solidified and that the father and mother image are there for the child to look up to with respect and know they really love me and they really care for me. I'm thankful for Christian fathers like that. Christian fathers who lead their family not only in these other areas, but most particularly in the realm of spiritual development. Who see to it that their children are instructed in the way of the Lord. Who come with their families to participate in the Bible classes of the local congregation and who stay with their families during the worship hour to let the children know firsthand that this is what's really important. More important than anything else, my father and my mother would not allow us to miss assembling together with God's people for the purpose of worshiping God. The Christian fathers who supply that steadying influence even in times of trouble. You know, I think back to my own father. My dad was such a character and he had some faults like all of us do. But there was one thing about it. He was a tower of strength in time of trouble. If there was something amiss, if there was something that was threatening to the family in any way, whether it was sickness or financial crisis or whatever, I always, as a child, felt as long as Dad there, is there, everything's going to be all right. He just had that presence about him. That when he came in, even if it was a troubled situation, you knew that somehow it was all going to work out right. There was a TV series way back a long time ago that was called Father Knows Best. And the father in that particular TV series was that type of individual. He just always had the answers, it seems, to the pressing problems of life. And I really believe that we have any number of fathers right here in this congregation who are like that, who not only attend to the needs of their children as far as the physical aspect of life is concerned, and see to it that the children have food and clothing and medical attention, but who are also mindful of the emotional and mental needs of their children, who do indeed take an interest in their activities, and who lend that steadying influence as they guide them to a spiritual understanding of that which is really important compared to that which matters little indeed. I'm thankful for godly fathers. You know, the Bible teaches us that God is our Heavenly Father, and He is the only perfect Father that we know to be. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. God characterizes Himself in Holy Writ, in the revelation that was made to us, as being our Father. And therefore, on any number of occasions, inspired penmen wrote concerning God our Father. In a sermon that I preached just about 3 weeks ago, I brought out the fact that the Bible is filled with references concerning God as being our Father. And I'm not going to belabor the issue, but I do want to notice just a few such references today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. And in the 6th chapter of this same book, verse 17, God spoke to His people and He said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be to you a Father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God is our Father. And we who are in His family are His children, His sons and His daughters, and thus brothers and sisters to one another. And one of the most beautiful depictions, therefore, of the church that you can find in the Bible is that it's the family of God. God is our Father, Christ our elder brother. We're brothers and sisters in the family of God. And we look to God as our Heavenly Father who steadies our frail bark as it makes its course across life's turbulent seas. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And in the Ephesian letter, in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes this statement in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, in whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named." We wear the name of our Father, as it were. God's will is that we follow His Son, Jesus Christ, and therefore the Bible tells us that we're Christians. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God in this name." And we can know that we are His, as the passage was read by Brother Steve a few moments ago, from the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Well, the Spirit of God leads us through divine revelation. It was the Spirit of God who revealed the will of the Father for His people. And therefore, as we follow the teachings of God's will, His seed planted within our heart, as it were, and we yield our will to His will in obedience to divine revelation, we indeed identify ourselves as being the offspring of God in a very real sense. And our Heavenly Father is the perfect Father. rather amazing to read through the Bible and learn the characteristics of God. We oftentimes speak of His power and we speak of His wisdom and we speak of His omnipresence, and He is all powerful and He is all wise and He is everywhere present. And those are characteristics of deity. There's no doubt about that. But the Bible also tells us that God is love. How thankful we should be for that. You read 1 John chapter 4 someday, and in those three little words, John said it all. God is love. And He has loved you and me to such a great extent. He is also compassionate and kind and understanding and helpful. But God is a disciplinarian, and we dare not miss that particular trait of God. And in the class that I'm privileged to teach on the Lord's Day morning at 9 o'clock here in the auditorium, I told the class that we would be using this scripture in our lesson from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And if you have your Bible with you and would like to turn there, I would like for us to note this. Because in this context, the writer speaks of earthly fathers and he speaks of heavenly fathers. And he brings out that the good earthly father is also going to discipline his children as it is needed, as the heavenly father disciplines us. Notice verse 7. It is for chastening that ye endure. God dealeth with you as with sons. Isn't it good to know that God loves his children and therefore he chastens his children, wanting to see them walk in the right way? Drop on down, if you would, to the latter part of verse 9. Or actually all of verse 9. We had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of our spirits and live? Can you remember growing up? Do you remember any dosages of hickory tea that your father placed upon you for your own benefit and for your own good? Most of us can recall those things. Well, if it's right that the earthly fathers discipline their children, then how much more so should we yield to the disciplinarian guidance of our heavenly Father? Paul said in the latter part of verse 10 that it's for our profit that we might be partakers of His holiness. So we rejoice in God's love and in His mercy and in His compassion and in His understanding and His willingness to be helpful, but we also rejoice in the fact that He is a disciplinarian. We rejoice in His constancy. The fact that we can depend upon God for His faithfulness. God is faithful, He is constant, He is true. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 we read that. In Him is the yea, and there is no nay in God, as it were. He's not one that is fickle. He's not one that's changing, but God is constant. He's dependable. He's that steadying influence. And He knows how to give good things to His children to benefit us as we go along life's way. And thus over in the book of James chapter 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation and neither shadow which is cast by turning. I'm thankful for the dependability of God, for the faithfulness of God, as well as for His love and for His mercy and for His compassion. And for the rich provisions that He has made for us. You see, today we're thinking of two different kinds of fathers. We're thinking of earthly fathers, but we're also remembering our heavenly Father. On this day that our nation has set aside as Father's Day to honor earthly fathers, we also want to honor Him who is our heavenly Father. God gave instruction to earthly husbands and fathers as to how they should conduct themselves. And when we follow those instructions sincerely and earnestly, so we do well. The Bible teaches husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25. And if every husband were to love his wife to that degree, to that extent, just think how much better things would be. In Colossians 3 verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. For a man to be a good father, he must first be a good husband. And so today, while we honor our fathers, at the same time we admonish them by reminding them of what the Bible teaches. And it's priority that husbands love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And that they dwell with their wives in full awareness of God's teaching. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 as an example. Ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. If the husband loves his wife and honors his wife and treats her, as it were, the weaker vessel, knowing that he is the one that God, by his design, set as the head of the house to be that stabilizing influence, to be the leader, to be the one who provides for his household. And by the way, let me pause right there and say that the Bible teaches that he that provides not for his own, and especially those of his own household, hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. And I thought of that scripture the other day when we were viewing that program. How could a man possibly walk out on his family? I don't understand that. I can't identify with that. I can't imagine a man that would leave his wife and his children to fend for themselves while he runs off someplace no one knows and hides away from his responsibility. I can't imagine a man like that. They are the object of contempt and disdain as far as I'm concerned. Any man that would be that irresponsible. And even that program, the secular program, brought out such irresponsibility. And I think of that scripture. The husband and the father has the responsibility of providing for his own. And one who does not hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, we think of husbands and fathers. And the responsibility of the father to provide, the responsibility of the father to nurture his children in the admonition of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. There's a passage over in the book of Genesis that has always found lodgment in my heart and mind. It's from the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 19, where God speaks concerning Abraham that he had chosen to become the father of a great nation. And this is what God said of Abraham. Listen carefully to verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. God knew that much about Abraham, you see. He said, I know Abraham. He's going to command his children and his household after him, and I know that they will keep the right way of the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that could be said of every earthly father? But the reality is that the vast majority, or at least a lot of people who are fathers, default in their responsibilities, abandon their responsibilities, or else abuse them severely. Thanks be to God for genuine Christian fathers who do take that role of leadership that has been enjoined upon them by Almighty God, who is our Heavenly Father, and who assume that role of responsibility well, and who love their wives, and who honor their wives, and who are kind and gentle to their wives and to their children as they nurture them in the admonition of the Lord, as they show an interest in the well-being of their children, in their emotional well-being, in their mental well-being, in their physical well-being, and in their spiritual well-being. And supply that role of steadying influence. Now, when that does take place, and when the earthly father is as he should be, then it's only right and it's only good that the wife and the children look to him with respect and honor him for doing such a good job. I really think that we need to be admonished, and hear me well, don't take a good dad for granted. I wrote an article for the Bulletin about 2 years ago, if my memory serves me correctly, and I noticed that it was reprinted in the Birdville Bulletin this week, but that was the title of it, Don't Take a Good Dad for Granted. Now, if a man isn't what he should be, maybe he doesn't deserve a day called Father's Day. But if a man is really trying, to be the kind of husband that God would have him to be and the kind of father that God would have him to be. You wives that are so blessed with a Christian husband, and you children that are present today who have a Christian father, you thank God for him. And you let him know that you love him and appreciate him now while you have the opportunity. There was a song that came out many, many years ago that has always touched my heart. And maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but it was called "That Silver-Haired Daddy of Mine." Do you remember that song? A lot of you older folks I know remember that song. If God would but grant me the power to roll back the pages of time, I'd give all that I own if I could but atone to that silver-haired daddy of mine. So many of us take our fathers for granted. We don't express our love and appreciation to them as we should. It seems more easy for us to talk about mothers and to express our love and tender feelings toward our mothers. But when it comes to fathers, it's a little bit harder for us, and I don't really understand why. But today, take the time to tell that deserving husband and father that you love him, ladies. And you children that are with us today, if you're blessed with a good Christian father, you put your arm around his neck, tell him that you love him and that you appreciate him. You won't have any regrets when your father is no longer with you. How thankful I am for my Heavenly Father, who is always there for me when I need Him, which is every day of my life. And each one of us should most especially be thankful to Him for being our Father. If you're present this morning and you're not a Christian, we would urge you to come in response to the Heavenly Father's pleading and invitation to you. Come to Him and be born again of water and the Spirit into His family. If you've never been baptized into Christ, you desperately and urgently need to do so. If you're a wayfaring child of God, come back home and make things right. Let your Heavenly Father know that you love Him and appreciate Him.